I wasn't a Christian man, I'd probably be kicking in your ass.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the JB's Low Tech Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about the way that people like me who have podcasts and also have things on YouTube overreact to every little detail that they find out something about college athletics. Now, I'm not going to say it's not interesting, the details, but you would listen to some of these people and you would think that World War III was about to happen, just like when the people of Palestine, not Palestine, but one of the Arab nations bombed Jerusalem, and every TV network decided it was time to say it was World War III was starting. Well, World War III didn't start, and college athletics is not going to totally fall apart, as some of these people will have you believe. And I'll talk about this more next after a word from Bradshaw and Bryant about distracted driving. April is distracted driving month. Going to hear some things to maybe get you to change some habits. Here next on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
Is that text you're sending so important that you miss your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw and Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
I'm here to talk about the reasons why people overinflate things they report on in college athletics. Now, if you listen to the people who work day to day, who are reporters, they give you a level-headed, informational, non-biased, non-opinionated view into what's happening in college athletics and what could happen. And they don't lose their mind. I get to see a ton of people on YouTube, and it's because I watch it, maybe I'm sick, who freak out all the time about every little detail about everything. Well, I'm going to discuss some things and maybe shed light on how they overreact to things and how we should, us level-headed people, should look at things in college athletics. And what's coming down the pike, or pipe, I'm sorry. The House versus NCAA case is where there's back NIL money that will be paid to college, former college, and here's the key word, former college athletes from 2017 to 2022. And this is over money from the NCAA tournaments and also the college football playoff and other streams of revenue that the athletes were not privy to gain money off their image and likeness in participating in those sports. Now, crazy people out there would lead you to believe that when the NCAA loses this case, that the NCAA will go away because it won't be able to afford to keep the office open. Well, that's the mistake they make. When this happens, it's not the NCAA. Well, I shouldn't say not the NCAA. They'll pay a piece because of they run the basketball tournament. But most of the money is going to come from the schools. There's probably going to be a settlement by December, and that settlement will probably be $1 billion and then $3 billion in damages, which is going to cost every Power Five, or now Power Four for the time being, and four is on life support because the ACC could disappear. But all those schools, plus Notre Dame and some other independents, and maybe even some G5s, will have to throw in some money too. But on average, somewhere between $14 and $18 million, they're all going to have to kick in to make this go away. Now, this isn't going to go away just with the payment of money. The people who bring in the suit also want there to be a ongoing revenue stream to the athletes as part of this, which only seems right, but then it leads to how do you come about that if you're negotiating a settlement to make this happen? And there's four possibilities that this could happen. The conferences will take over the regulations of sports and set their own rules about how athletes will get paid, how can athletes transfer, how, and everything else within that. Now, if that happens, there may be a lot more, I call them non-revenue, most people call them Olympic sports, will probably disappear in mostly men's sports. And I'm going to have a guest on in the next couple of weeks who's living that whole mess. He's still the head coach of the men's gymnastics team at the University of Minnesota, Mike Burns, but it is no longer a varsity sport at the University of Minnesota. It's a club sport. Mike and I talked over probably 2 years ago now when this was coming and had happened. And so he thought it would be a good idea to follow up since he spent a couple of years now in that limbo trying to explain to people what happens to teams like that that all of a sudden go from varsity to club sport status, and can they survive? If they survive, how they survive? What entails the survival with that? Because there's no scholarship money for that. How do you get young men to show up and want to be a part of a gymnastics team and them totally toting the bill to go to school? But I digress. Also, then the other possibility would be employment. Now, everybody keeps saying the universities don't want that. I would say the athletes should not want it more than the schools. Yes, the schools would have to deal with adding a new crop of employees and the insurance and all the other headaches that go with it, but they would gain some things. they would have control over the athletes again. They could fire them. They could cut them. They could control their, they will control their pay. The athletes need to understand if it goes down to employment that everything is not going to be puppy dogs and puppy dog tails and a good time in the sunshine. They're going to have to give up some things on that. Third possibility is just flat out revenue sharing. And of course, the schools are going to just drag their feet and drag their feet and drag their feet on that one. Because the longer they get to drag their feet, the more money they get to stick and hide somewhere and help them pay off that, you know, what could be a $4 billion settlement with the athletes from 2017 to 2022. And also put a war chest together so when they do have total control over NIL and they're not employees, they get to pay kids whatever they want, that they have more money to pay said athlete. And then the fourth way would be Congress. Congress has the power, would have the power if they so choose, and it doesn't seem like they really are choosing to really get involved. They really like to be lobbied and get the lobby money, but they have drugged their feet. You know, you have the Democrats who lean more towards the athletes, and you have the Republicans that lean more to powers to the schools. And with that being that, there's never any real push about legislation on helping solve this issue. And legislation to solve this issue is probably the least to happen of the four. So right now we're still stuck in limbo. Athletes are, with the new transfer rule, can transfer unlimited. And schools, since the other lawsuit that was lost by the colleges, I won't say NCAA, I'll say by the colleges, there are and people would say, well, this is a win for the school. No, this is a loss for the school. There is no legislation or rules governing NIL. This is a total win for the athletes and a win for the schools who have the money and want to go crazy on paying athletes. But there's a lot to be waived and lost by the schools if they continue down that line. Yes, they will have control, but yes, they would have control. And some schools don't know what the word control means. And never think about the repercussions of their actions, like I said, cutting where they would have to cut sports, and also the amount of money they pay in NIL would also have to be, would have to show up on the female athlete side. So it is quite a doozy, and nobody, and that's because of Title IX, but it's quite a doozy, and nobody's thinking. As the old joke goes, they're thinking with their small head and not with their big head. Let me move on. G5, those are the schools that are in conferences like the WAC, the Mountain West. What's the one in the Midwest? Why am I blanking that? That's the one that has like Toledo and Western Michigan and Central Michigan, that conference, and Conference USA, and a few others, just gained the right to have a guarantee of their best school within their group of five conferences to get a spot in the college football playoffs. But that came with a cost, and the cost was before it moved from the four team now to the 12-team playoff. There is, and more revenue is being shared. Well, remember, the SEC and the Big Ten are getting over half, I think it's 58% of that money is going to those conferences. And then you have the ACC and the Big 12, we get like 10 to 15% each of that revenue. The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. So, and I have more on that. But they will share in the greater amount, leaving only per school for G5 schools, which we're getting like $2.5 million per school as a cut from the college football playoff. It's now down to like $1.2, $1.3 million per school. Those schools count on things like their cut of the NCAA basketball tournament, their cut of the college football playoff, and they also count on playing the Power Four schools, which will then cut them a check for coming and supposedly taking a loss. Now you have situations like Auburn paid New Mexico State this year, this past season, $1.5 or $1.2 million to come and play at Auburn, expecting the loss. And Jerry Kill, the low-budget magic man, found a way to beat Auburn. So Auburn walked out with a win. I mean, New Mexico State walked out with a win out of Auburn, plus got a check cut to him from Auburn for beating Auburn and not doing what it was supposed to do, which is show up, take your loss, and take your money. But anyway, those are basically the three big revenue streams for a group of five, and then they live off their tech ticket revenue, and if they have a TV contract, then they also live off their TV contract, which isn't much, and they have to play on crazy things like Tuesday or Wednesday night. Oh, the MAC, Mid-American Athletic Conference, is what I was trying to think of, with Toledo and Western Michigan and Central Michigan and schools like that. They play a game midweek, and it's called MACtion. But they would lose a lot of money as this goes on. So this is bringing about some discussion, and some people in my world would tell you, this is going to happen. This is going to happen within the next 2-3 years. No, they're going to sit back, figure out, is this enough for them? Or they would pull the parachute and maybe do one or two things. Keep their spot in the college football playoff, but have their own play-in tournament amongst their conference winners. And then the winner of their play-in tournament would get a spot in the college football playoff. Problem with that is now they're cutting the amount of games they get to play in the season, which means they would be cutting the amount of games they would play against Power Four schools, which is, as I stated earlier, some of the biggest paydays for them in a given season, to come take the loss and come take the big check. But also, they would lose some of their in-conference games and some of their rivalry games. And right now, it wouldn't make sense to jump through that hoop not knowing what their one spot in the college football playoff could bring them. Also, the Big 12 got it passed that after the 2027 season, there'll be a look-in. And they'd go back and look at, or the ACC, if it's still alive, and the Big 12 doing better, and should they get more of a cut? Is the SEC doing worse and they should get less? Or the Big 10 doing worse and they should get less? Or maybe that one school that represents the G5 every year hits and wins the first round, or wins the second round, first and second round game, and maybe they should get a bigger cut. My suggestion to them is don't listen to the people who overreact, who are overreacting right now just because somebody said, we should have a playoff for the group of five. That, if you do that, and walk away and overreact, you would give up that money. There is no guarantee that there is a broadcast partner for that. And it just would be a rush decision. It would just be an overreaction. Just take your three seasons, see how it lays, then have your discussions. But like I said, I have brothers and sisters who out there who think they need to do that right away. Again, another overreaction. I said earlier that I would talk about the Pac-12, which is now the Pac-2, which is Oregon State, Washington State. They are the leftovers of the Pac-12 that used to have Arizona, Arizona State, Stanford, Cal, UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington, Colorado, and I'm forgetting somebody, I think. But they were all in a conference called the Pac-12. All that is left is the assets and remaining money is all left to Oregon State and Washington State. Well, it was voted on that if Oregon State and Washington State in the Pac-2, I'll call it, does not get 7 more schools to join to keep their autonomy and become a Power 5 school again, by August 1st, they will automatically on August 2nd become a G5 conference. Now, in football, they will play their old rivals of Washington and Oregon, and they have games scheduled against other Power 4 schools, but then the rest of their games are going to be played in the Mountain West Conference, which is a G5 conference. So either they get 7 schools to join what would be called the Pac-9 or the Pac-10 if they can get 8, and keep their autonomy by August 1st, or just move into the Mountain West because you're going to be a G5 anyway. And if 2 years you don't make that move and you become a G5, but Oregon State and Washington State are still sitting there and have not built back up, they will basically at that point decide to kill off the Pac-2 or what used to be called the Pac-12, because then they wouldn't be a conference at all. So they either got to do some work and get some schools to join them and get a low-budget TV contract, or just move on into the Mountain West and just realize it is now a group of five school, and then become a power within the group of five and hope that one of the Power 4 will send them an invite. More than likely, it would be the Big 12. I can't see the Big 10, but it would be the Big 12. Or maybe the ACC would want to add to its West linkage, because they will, starting this coming up school year, will have Cal and Stanford as part of the ACC. And it would only make sense to add 2 more schools and like the Big Ten, have a West Coast link out there, 4 schools where they can kind of play each other and cut down. And even though I don't think it's a big deal, cut down on some of this East-West travel. I mean, East-West travel is hard on the human body of the athletes. But beyond that, I really don't think it really costs that much more in travel, as they would try to make you believe, and I've covered all that in the past, and I can go through all that. But that's what the Pac-2, what the former Pac-12, has to face. And here was the biggest overreaction of the week. The Attorney General for the state of Florida is suing ESPN and technically the ACC, but more ESPN to get the details of its TV contract with each school. Now, what the AG or the Attorney General is stating, that you do business in our state, we have the right to know what it's in that contract. And of course, ESPN doesn't want anybody to know what's in that contract because they wrote in low clauses and escape clauses and whatnot. And it will show that ESPN was not totally bargaining in good faith with the ACC when they agreed to that deal. Now, the ACC had a commissioner who didn't really care. He just wanted the status that ESPN brought to, and somewhat Fox, but mostly ESPN brings to the ACC as far as TV coverage, as far as football, and, you know, some other minor things, you know, the basketball, and then other minor things that you wind up seeing on ESPNU, the ESPN University channel. But the state attorney general wants to know. Now, is this to help Florida State with its case? Of course. You have to know that Florida State's going to call in every and any favor it can to lessen the blow, because they're going to go. But they're trying not to be penalized for leaving and just pay what they're supposed to pay and not overpay. Because when you look at other conferences, like when Texas and Oklahoma left, they paid $50 million each to leave the Big 12 to go to the SEC. Right now, the ACC is claiming that they would have to pay $150 million each to the conference, plus give up their broadcast rights to home sporting events, which could cost them another like $500 million each. So this is all one-upsmanship. This is all game of chess and politics. My counterparts, again, would overreact and tell you, ooh, and it's a woman, the Attorney General Moody is her name, that, ooh, she landed this big blow for Florida State and for Florida. And it's like, no, it's just the normal way that state and state institutions and their attorney general, if they got involved, would handle things. It's not a big deal. It's not a small deal. It's just a deal. With that, I'm going to take another commercial break from Mike Bryant. Again, April is Driving Distracted Month. We'll hear another commercial spot with that. And then I'll give you the latest update about my health. Here next on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
In a world that's racing a mile a minute, a split-second distraction can change everything. I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. Every day we see too many people, heads buried in their phones, unaware of the dangers they're in. Texting and driving isn't just reckless, it's playing Russian roulette with your life and the lives of others. In just 4 seconds of distraction, you've driven the length of a football field. Is there any text message that's worth your life, that's worth the lives of others? I've been fighting for the rights of the injured for over 30 years, but I'd rather you never meet me in a courtroom. So hear me now, stop texting and driving. Pay attention. Value your lives and the lives around you. And if you won't, know this, at Bradshaw & Bryant, we're relentless. We won't back down. We bring justice to those that need it.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
With Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? We're gonna have a problem here.
Y'all act like you never seen a white person before. Jaws all on the floor like Pam, like Tommy just burst in the door and started whooping her ass first than before. They first were divorced, sewing her over furniture. It's the return of the... Oh, wait, no, wait, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Dr. Dre said... Nothing, you idiots. Dr. Dre's dead. He's locked in my basement. Feminist women love Eminem. Chicka, 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 Slim Shady. I'm sick of him. Look at him walking around, grabbing his you-know-what, flipping the you-know-who. Yeah, but he's so...
And I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, and Dr. Dre is not dead. He's alive, and I hope well, but that was just a line in the song. Well, to give an update on me. As most of you know, I've had my ankle fused in the late in the month of December. I was going through recovery, wasn't the greatest, a lot of pain, immobility. I am, let's put it this way, I have kicked the crutches to the curb. The knee scooter was returned over a month ago. I'm walking on my own. I'm in physical therapy. I was twice a week. Now it's down to once a week plus what I they tell me to do at home. And as of last Monday, I started back to work, not at my regular position on campus, but I am working at a desk somewhere, doing a desk job temporarily until... My next doctor's appointment will either lift my restrictions or keep my restrictions, one of the two, later in May. So that's where I'm at. I am walking on my own power. I am bearing weight. Like I said, no crutches, no cane, no scooter, no nothing. It's just me and my 2 feet. And it's been interesting, this whole process. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do in life to come out better on the other end in life. I just wish that the pain wasn't as bad as it was for a couple of months there. I'm off all, at this point, off all medication, pain medication, and also there were some anxiety meds that I was put on to help curb. I'm out of pain management. I went there a week and a half ago, did not need another shot, didn't need any further medication from the pain management specialist. So I am truly on the mend. I am slow, but I am walking on my own. I have done 2 days on a treadmill of 30 minutes and more, and in each case, one was 34 minutes, the other was 31 minutes in each case. I've done a mile each time just on the treadmill walking, the speed of 2.0 to and raising it up to like 3.2. There was, I guess you could call it a minor jog, was in like every 2.5 minutes I would do a my best impersonation of a jog and do it for 30 seconds, and then do 2.5 minutes more at a walking pace, and then back to a 30-second jog. So, or what I would think is a jog. So I'm on the mend. I am going to win this. I got a big decision coming up late May. I'm not going to discuss it any further, but just wish me luck with it. And with that, continue to listen. Tell a friend, and next week we'll be back for more on the JB's Low Tech Podcast.
JB is my name, and f***ing up motherfuckers is my game.
Right on. Negro, black, African American,
black.
Django, JB.
Damn, Dolomite.
Great God in heaven, you know.
Our great Negro sex machine.